So this morning, we're going to talk about a special kind of apostle. So what did we learn an apostle was? What's the word apostle mean?
Messenger.
It means messenger, okay. And we talked about this before. Dan told you about, I said something about, now what would you do if Dan told you that he had performed a miracle the Tuesday before? And, yeah, and you wanted your bank account and some other stuff like that, right? Okay. So he had all of those things going, and he said, "Yeah, this is what happened. I performed a miracle." And then Dan got up and he told us what happened. What happened Tuesday? You said that there was
a breach in my credit card.
Yeah, but he said it was a miracle, right? So just how strange this was. This came up. This was a miracle. Now, if you know what the process is for somebody becoming a saint in the Catholic Church?
12 kids?
I don't think so. St. Patrick did not have 12 kids, or at least he didn't claim them. So, yes?
They have to, like people say, they've done a miracle here, or they've done a miracle there. So many miracles in the Canaanites.
Yeah, they have to be attributed a miracle, right? Okay. And they're in the process, I think there's 6 people right now that they're in the process of canonizing, right? And so they're attributing miracles to them. Any of you, have you ever heard of St. Patrick?
Yeah, what's the one that you bury out in the backyard?
Oh. Oh.
When I go real, they never get to doing that.
So anybody remember what the miracles this attributed to St. Patrick were?
He drove all the snakes out of Ireland.
Anybody ever seen a snake in Ireland?
Never been there.
I never saw one, so I can believe there aren't any. Except for people. There might be a few up in those 2 counties up in the corner there.
Where you hail from?
No. No, we're weasels, not snakes. Oh. They're different. There were some other miracles. You might be surprised to know that he was attributed of raising 30 people from the dead. He came to be in Ireland because he was kidnapped from over in Scotland. They kidnapped him, made a slave of him, and he saw visions that go down to the beach, and he did, and there were some people on a ship, and they helped him escape. And then he saw this other vision, and it said go back, and the guy wanted to kill him, only he couldn't use his arm. So there were a lot of miracles attributed to him. Okay, and we'll kind of come back to this, and it sort of goes to a passage you were talking about, right, in Revelation chapter 13. So how does that happen? Apostles are messengers. Today we're going to talk about a very special kind of apostle, and that special kind of an apostle is a, take a guess, false apostle. Okay, so there are such a thing as a false apostle. If we go back and read in the Old Testament times, there were some false apostles. Why don't we pick 4 passages? Can I get a volunteer to read from Ezekiel? Ezekiel chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. Jeremiah chapter 5, verses 30 and 31. Okay, from the New Testament. What? From the New Testament, somebody? Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 12 through 15. One more, Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 31. So let's just look at some examples of somebody who was a false prophet in the Bible. So the first one, Ezekiel chapter 13, verses 1 through 7.
The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who are now prophesying. Say to those who prophesy out of their own imagination, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit. and have seen nothing. Your prophets, O Israel, are like jackals among ruins. You have not gone up to the breaks in the wall to repair it for the house of Israel, so that it will stand firm in the battle on the day of the Lord. Their visions are false, and their divinations a lie. They say the Lord declares when the Lord has not sent them. Yet they expect their words to be fulfilled. Have you not seen false visions and uttered lying divinations when you say the Lord declares, though I have not spoken?
Who? Anybody remember the history of what was going on here when Ezekiel's brought this prophecy against the false prophets? What were these false prophets doing?
Peace, peace when there was no peace.
They were saying peace, peace when there was no peace. Okay, so they were telling people. What were they telling people? Any of you watch the television lately? Anything? Well, we'll say politicians might be telling people. What kind of things are they telling people?
All would be well.
What did you say?
What kind of things are I'm not picking on any particular politician here. What are the kinds of things that politicians are telling people?
What they want to hear.
Ooh, what they want to hear. Okay, so they go out and they conduct polls, and they pretty much all do it. They go out and they conduct polls, and they say, oh, well, let's see, if we told people about this, do they want to hear that? And if it's something that is not popular, something that maybe people should hear, but they really don't want to, guess what? They try not to talk about that unless somebody really pushes them. Okay, so that's what these guys were doing. They were saying that everything is well. They were talking about building up the walls. Why were they supposed to build up the walls? They were torn down. They needed them for protection, right? They said, oh, no, you don't need to do that. Don't worry about all of those things. You don't want to hear that. I'll tell you what you want to hear. And that's what these prophets were doing. And it was out of their own imagination. Have you ever known somebody that told things that weren't true, and they were trying to pitch something, to sell something, and what their plan was is that... How can I say this? That if they could get people to buy into it, it was close enough that they would be able to sort of put it over as like it was true. Any Captain Kangaroo fans in here? From anybody remember Captain Kangaroo? 1, 2, 3, 4. Do you remember the story that old Captain Kangaroo would read about once a year? The story about making stone soup? How did stone soup go? What did you need to make stone soup? You need a big stone, right? And you need some water. And then, so it was like, this is going to be just miraculous. We're going to make soup out of a stone and some water. And then what did they do? Everybody got around. There was a big miraculous thing.
They said, oh, it would really be better if we had some potatoes in there.
Oh, yeah. Stone stew is going to be magic stew. It's going to come out, but it would be better if we had some potatoes in there. After they got the potatoes in there, then they said, what did they say? Some carrots and some onions. Oh, it would be delicious to add carrots and onions. And has anybody got any salt? Right? Okay, you see where this is going?
Now we're going to get, well, I think I've got a few potatoes in here, and I've got some carrots.
And in the end, what happened was is they sold everybody on this business so that they were going to make this stew, and it would be a little better if you put this in, and before it was all done, they got it, right? So it's like, put me in power, let me do my thing. So I see it at work all the time, so I'm kind of practiced in watching this. So, but it's like, yeah, give me the resources and we'll make it happen. And there are people who do that. What kind of places? So people do it at work. People do it in government. Anywhere else?
At home.
At home? Oh my.
In church.
In churches.
In businesses.
Anywhere else?
Not much of anywhere else left.
There's not much of anywhere else left. Okay, so this is the kind of thing these guys were doing, is that they were prophesying in their own imagination and they were just assuming it was going to happen. Any card players in here? Have you ever played cards and like you're bidding and there's like a blind, right? And you don't have anything in your hand and you just don't want the other guys to get it. You bid really high like Sharon always does. And then you just hope that all of the cards that you needed were in the blind, right? Okay, so it's like, and that's what these guys were doing. Exactly what they were doing.
Love that.
Yeah, well, anyway, moving right along, that's what these guys were doing. And this proves that in the time of the Israelites, this was happening. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 5, verses 30 and 31. This is going to add something else to it, not just the false prophets, but who else?
A horrible and shocking thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy lies. The priests rule by their own authority, and my people love it this way. But what will you do in the end?
So here's four things. Prophets are prophesying lies. What are the priests doing? Ruling by their own authority. What are the people doing? They're loving it because they're telling them what they want to hear. This is exactly, this is how you do it, and what's going to be the result? What's going to be the result?
Disaster.
What will you do in the end, right? Okay. It will be a disaster. Some people do this kind of thing seeking profit. Some people are trying to get something out of it. Some people do it without realizing that they're doing it or that it's wrong.
That's the scariest thing.
Yes, it is. And I hope we have time to talk about that today. So, it happened in the Old Testament times. And there are some passages that I'm intentionally skipping over here where Jesus prophesied that this would happen. But let's go back and read a couple of things that the Apostle Paul said. Sharon, I think you have 2 Corinthians? No. Paul. Phyllis. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 12 through 15.
But what in my doing I will continue to do, so that I may tremble at the opportunity for those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the matter about which they are boasting. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants are disguised, also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness.
So there's some people who are going to pass themselves off as apostles who are false apostles, right? False messengers. So this, and this comes back to the question that Dave raised after we were talking about apostles had evidence. What about people who claim to have evidence? And there's a passage in Revelation where it talks about two beasts, a sea beast and a land beast, Revelation chapter 13. And the land beast was able to perform signs and wonders, some translations say miracles, in the presence of the first beast. Okay? That was the qualifying characteristic. People would come and say, so how many of you believe in Dan's miracle? Credit card called him up and said, hey, somebody in England is trying to use your credit card. It's just a miracle. How many of you believe in his miracle? How many of you don't believe in his miracle? Yeah, okay, so Dan, sorry, you're not going to get canonized this year, at least not yet. Okay, so it is possible for somebody to say that they performed a miracle, and maybe they didn't, so you might question. And then, well, just who would you trust? So we can't trust Dan now, so who are we going to trust? Who's next? Who else would you trust in the church? It's easy, brother, you know that, don't you? Yeah. Who else might you trust in the church? Who are the elders? Well, let's read Acts chapter 20. Blake, what's that say? Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 31. Yep. This is Paul addressing the elders at Ephesus before he set out to go back to Jerusalem.
Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy has made you overseers, and the shepherds of the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw Therefore be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years I did not cease to admonish each one with tears.
Okay, so they were going to have a problem with false teachers, and where were the false teachers going to come from? Well, from within, even closer than the flock. From the shepherds of the flock, the overseers themselves. So, anybody a student of the Council at Nicaea?
You are.
Anybody else? Who were the guys arguing about who was in control? There were three important guys. One's name was Arius. Another was Alexander. And the third one was Constantine. And this guy had prayed to God and been delivered a victory in battle, and had seen his vision that he, in his mind at least, said, in the name of Christ, conquer. And he went back and said, well, then maybe I should stop letting the church be persecuted. Maybe the church should be the official religion of Rome. But he had a problem. Arius and Alexander were fighting. Arius wanted some people to follow him. Alexander wanted some people to follow him. And they weren't getting along. Anybody remember what kind of stuff they were arguing about? They were arguing about the nature of Christ. That's probably the biggest one. They were arguing about what somebody should have to do to be accepted back into the church after they had renounced Christ and the persecution.
You say that they were arguing about certainty?
Well, they were arguing about the nature of Christ is what they were actually arguing about. Okay. They were arguing about the nature of Christ.
And ultimately, who the head of the church was.
Yeah, who's the top guy here, and whose opinion is gonna hold sway? And this guy said there ought to be one opinion, so that made it pretty important that you had to choose between all these two. You see any passages in the New Testament where that happened? Take your Bible, turn back over to the beginning of Corinthians. What's that tell you? I think it's in the very first chapter, isn't it?
Starting in verse 10.
Yeah, well, why don't you begin in 12? Sam, why don't you read verse 12 there and
12 alone?
Let's see, 12 and 13.
No, I mean this, that each one of you is saying, I am of Paul, and I have Paulus, and I have Cephas, and I have Christ. Has Christ been divided? Paul was not crucified for you, was he? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul?
Okay, so what were they arguing about?
Who should they follow?
Who to follow.
Right.
They were arguing about which man to follow. Same kind of deal as this, right? And he told them that they were acting out of the flesh and not out of the Spirit when they did that. So, it doesn't say that in this passage, but it does later. So, here we've got this thing set up that we have people following people. So, did Jesus ever tell any parables about people following people? Okay. There. Okay.
Much better.
Did Jesus ever tell any parables about people following people? He said, when a blind man does what? Yeah, when the blind leads the blind, they both fall in the ditch. And that's what it's like when one man is following another. Okay. There are no accounts of any person anywhere in the Bible being filled with the Holy Spirit in a miraculous way to show that they were an apostle of God that caused them to profit.
To what?
To profit.
Well, financially.
gain, personal gain. And there's this word, and you find it back in James, especially chapter 3, where it talks about selfish ambition. This is the what's in it for me. What can I gain from this? Now, there is a passage that, if you go back to Numbers, and this, it starts in Numbers chapter 22, and it sort of ends in 25, and then there's one verse over in 31. It's 31:8. Carl, would you turn to 31:8? This is a guy that it talks about. 31:8, he gets mentioned again in 2 Peter. I think you preached about him not too long ago. 31:8. Just one verse about this guy. Him and Joshua had an experience in 31:8.
They killed the kings of Midian along with the rest of their slain. Evi and Rechem and Zur and Hur and Reba, the five kings of Midian. They also killed Balaam, the son of Beor, with the sword.
Ooh, Balaam, the son of Beor, with the sword. Now, why would Joshua line up all of these kings? Balaam was a prophet, right? Why would he kill a prophet? What had he done? He had sold out Israel. The king of Moab had called him, he knew he was a prophet, he called him to prophesy against Israel. And at first he said no, he wanted to go, but he said no, I can't go. Okay, the Lord won't let me. And then what happened? The king of the Moabites asked again, and Balaam still wanted to go, and then what happened? Finally, the Lord said, okay, you want to go? Go. But there was a little surprise waiting for him along the way. What was that? Here he was riding on his favorite donkey, his donkey that he'd had for a long time. I mean, this donkey was like my old Chevrolet truck, you know. It just like just kept puttering along forever, you know. It had been there for a while. And then the donkey did something. What did he do? He stopped. And didn't he rub his leg on the wall? Yeah, crushed his leg on the wall. Have you ever been on like a horse or a pony or something that did that?
Yep.
It hurts, don't it?
Yeah.
So, he got off and he was mad at his donkey and he yelled at his donkey. And then what did the donkey do?
What are you beating me for?
Why are you hitting me? Now, Dan talked about me talking to my dog here a while back. I'm sorry to pick on you, Dan, but you did. So, and I have been known to talk to my dog, and it was because the dog was probably smarter than me at the time. And I've had dogs that would look at me in a way that I could tell they were understanding what I was saying. And I had one dog that he even liked to sing, especially if you'd blow on the mouth harp a little bit, he'd sing along with you, but he couldn't say words. He was a smart dog, but he couldn't say any words. This donkey, is a donkey a smart animal?
No.
Yes and no, depends on how you do it. But are you expecting them to talk? If you had a donkey, and he talked to you and said, "Why are you hitting me?" Would you argue with him?
No, it's selling for $1 million.
Can you imagine somebody that has a donkey talking to them and then they argue with the donkey? I mean, if it wasn't so sad, it would be comical, wouldn't it? I mean, how could anybody do such a thing? I mean, like, here's a sign from God that this, I mean, no way this donkey's doing it on his own. And maybe Balaam ought to think about how important are prophets if the donkey's prophesying now. Who's important in the prophecy? The prophet, or the one that sends the prophecy, okay? And the donkey was telling him, and the donkey's message was? What did the donkey have to tell Balaam?
You only say what God directs you to say.
Yeah, but he had a more pressing message for Balaam, right?
So there's an angel, he's still you.
So yeah, I stopped because there's an angel right there. That's one of the things about donkeys. If they see a threat, they stop, okay, and you can't hardly get them to go. So my uncle got trapped in a field with a tornado one time that way. He had two donkeys, and he wanted to go away from the tornadoes, and the donkeys just wanted to keep their eye on the tornado, and they wouldn't move. So I mean, they're really fixed on what they're going to do. Well, this one was that way, and it was an angel. Was it a beautiful angel with curly hair and a songbook? Had a sword. The angels read about in the Bible tend to have swords, and they lay things waste. And who was this angel going to lay waste?
Balaam.
Now, okay. He asked twice after God told him no. Don't do this. He got mad at his donkey. He argued with him. There's an angel standing in the path going to kill him when he finally figures it out. Now, let me ask you, what would you do if you were Balaam?
Sell the donkey for a lot of money and go home.
I would turn around and go home. How many of you would be on that same page? How many of you would keep going to the king of Moab? When he got to king of Moab, he ran into a problem of the king of Moab paid him to prophesy, and he did. And when he did, what did he do?
Blessed him.
And then Moab paid him more, and then what did he do?
Blessed him again.
And Moab got really, really angry with him. He was thinking maybe his investment was not good. Okay?
You know, I was talking, people see one thing, money, and, you know, of riches. And it's all within his mind. He knew that. There was a huge pile of gold. He just, you know, didn't go to get there. And it was all he cared about. He just, you know, he's crazy at me, like he said. I mean, any but normal person would have, you know, kind of went back. But no, all he was with money was riches.
Mine.
And that's what Peter tells us, talks about his greed.
It's about his greed. The king of the Moabites was pretty unhappy with his investment, and he really wanted Balaam to make good on it, and Balaam was unable to prophesy against children of Israel, so what did he do?
I know how to fix it.
He couldn't prophesy against them. What did he do? What?
No.
Well, he blessed them, but now he's trying to make good on the investment for the king of Moab.
He said, I know how to do it.
I know how you can cause God to defeat them, right? And what do you do?
Send your women among them. Send your men among their women. Lead them astray. Lead them away from God.
Sexual immorality, and it was basically with the women. And when God told them to kill the women of Moab, it was specifically because of this. Any other stories come from Moab? Any other famous descendants? Yeah? Anybody else? Okay, let that one sink in for a second. See if you can think of anybody else. But here's Balaam. He tried to profit from being a prophet of God, and what happened to him? When it was all done, what did Joshua do?
Killed him.
Took a sword, and he killed him. Okay. Did Balaam profit from what he did? He tried. He became famous, and 2 Peter, what does 2 Peter say about him again, Dan? He was the poster child for doing this, right? Yeah. Anybody else in the Old Testament try to do something like that? Anybody remember the story of Naaman? And he got
Leprosy,
right? And he had this little slave girl, and this little slave girl said, I know somebody back in my home country who is a prophet of God that could cleanse you of that. His name was, Elisha. That was what his name was. And he went back to him, and Elisha told him to do some great, mighty deed in order that he might be cleansed of his leprosy, didn't he?
Yeah, great, mighty, dip yourself
7 times.
Yeah. In fact, it was so not mighty and so not great that it made Naaman mad and he wouldn't do it. And the little girl asked him, he said, well, if he had told you to do something great and mighty, wouldn't you have done that? Well, yeah. I said, well, why won't you do this? And he dipped himself 7 times. He was clean. He came back to Elisha and he wanted to do something. He wanted to pay him. And Elisha said, no, it's no charge. Right? But there was a problem, wasn't there? Naaman went away. What happened then? A guy named Gehazi, right? A guy named Gehazi went running after Naaman and said, "Oh no, my master has changed his mind. He'll take the payment now." And he put the payment, and he got back to Elisha. And when Elisha saw him, did he find the payment on Gehazi?
No, he didn't.
He didn't need to, because he said, "You know what, Gehazi, I know what you did. You're going to have leprosy now." And Gehazi immediately had leprosy. Did Gehazi profit from Elisha being a prophet?
Until then.
Didn't last very long, right? What good is riches going to do you if you've got leprosy? Not much. Not much. There was a guy in the New Testament, we know, that he saw this Holy Spirit thing, and there was this laying on of hands, and there was like shadows of the apostles healing people. And what did he? Who was that? Simon the Sorcerer. Where can you find him? Acts. What about in Acts? I'll give you a clue. It's 8:14. When you find it, maybe read there a few verses for us. 8:14-24.
Now when the apostle in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent them to John, who came down and prayed for them, and they might, that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for he had not yet fallen upon any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus.
How far? 24.
Then they began laying their hands on them, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was bestowed through the laying of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, "Give the authority to me as well, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have no part or portion in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. Therefore, repent of this wickedness of yours, and pray the Lord that, if possible, the intention of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bondage of iniquity." But Simon answered and said, "Pray the Lord for me yourself, so that nothing of what you have said may come upon me."
Okay, so he pretty much immediately asked for forgiveness in the prayers of the church. Do you think that if Simon had been granted this thing, that he would have went around and as vigorously as he could have passed on the Holy Spirit blessing to other people and put it through? You're shaking your head. No, why not?
Because his heart was...
Well, his heart wasn't right, but if they had been able to do that and he'd been able to give them money, what do you think he would have done with the ability that they would have passed on to him? Do you think he'd have been willing to sell it a lot, as much as he could?
Absolutely.
Do you think the Holy Spirit would have been distributed?
No.
You know, if you could just... Well, stick with me here. What if it were possible?
Okay.
Okay? If you could sell it, you know, if you could bottle it, you ever hear anybody say if you could bottle that, you'd make $1 million, right? That if you could do that, if you could commercialize it, don't you think people would just really go for that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. They would. Okay? Oh, yeah?
Part of the go back and read the initial part of that story. It says, "Now there was a man named Simon who formerly was practicing in a city and astonishing the people of Samaria, claiming to be someone great. Not only would he do it for the monetary thing, but hey, look at me, you know, look at the ability that I have." It would raise up his self-esteem and how he looked in other people's eyes.
Power and esteem. Ms. Dave?
I guess I would further that with the Old Testament example, because you know, the true prophets that are recorded in our scriptures, their motivation wasn't about themselves. So they weren't very popular among the people. And the people that were prophesying things that didn't come from God, they were the popular ones. They were, you know, they were the elite people because they were telling people what they wanted to hear. So it really wasn't any different back then.
Somebody once told many of us together here that when they say something and it sounds like, "Oh yeah, that's just what I'd like to hear," that's a pretty sure sign of maybe you ought to question it. Christ, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're, there was a guy that was on the news this last week, and he was talking about reporting, and he said, when you report, if you don't report anything that bothers you, you probably haven't told both sides of the story. Did any of you see that? That when you file a news report of something, if you only tell the stuff that you personally yourself agree with, and nothing that you're reporting that of what happened or somebody said, whatever, bothers you a little and you don't agree with it, that you probably have left part of the story out. Okay, he was they were dedicating something to him about being a great journalist. And he said this thing, and isn't that true? That as you consider yourself in light of the Lord, and if all you can think of just, oh, what a great person I am, and not think about, oh, where am I missing it? Well, then you're probably missing it for sure, aren't you, Dan?
You know, that passage we looked at earlier is such a, not only were they presenting false information, but the people loved it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is just completely disturbing to me. But I know what happens today, though. I mean, you know, Paul in Timothy, 2 Timothy 4, verse 3, the time's going to come when people just want their ears tickled and they're going to gather teachers under themselves. They're just going to say what they want to hear. And I think to myself that we've got to be on guard, that we're keeping this all as the truth, and even when it hurts. Just like you said, you probably don't have the whole story, but it doesn't hurt a little bit. But the God's people got to a position where they love false teaching.
Oh, yeah. That one's kind of close to my heart this week, you know, is that, you know, do you guys remember little Angie? How many of you remember little Angie? So, youngest daughter. So, my youngest daughter. And, well, she's a little bigger now. And Beth, what did you say about physical therapists? Yeah, so you were telling me about when somebody was doing something and it hurt them. You're a medical nurse, and what do you do?
Oh, I comfort them and tell them it's okay, I won't make you do that. But physical therapists and surgical nurses, they're like, they're brutal. They don't take no for an answer. They know it's for your best good, and they just make you do it whether it hurts or not.
Yeah, if it don't hurt, they're not helping you, right? So, well, that's what Angie does now, and the old people like me. And you know what she was telling me on the phone this week? I was telling her, well, when I do this, it really hurts. She said, oh, well, you got to do that then. You need to do that a lot more. Lay on your back and just continuously do it. Oh, honey, she said, did I have to come up there? So, if it don't make you feel a little uncomfortable, you're probably not being honest with yourself. And certainly these guys, if they were telling, oh, just what you want to hear, everything's great, probably not being right. Okay? Because you're going to make your own self feel a little uncomfortable if you're being honest. And that's what these people were for.
Well, that's like everybody telling another person that, you know, God is great, God is good, which is true, but God is just. And when you don't put the just part in on it, and you just think everything's wonderful and fabulous and you believe in God, then when you come across a problem in your life, then who goes out the window? God. So you've got to know that there will be troubles and there will be trials. But God is still there. But you've got to see both sides of it.
Yeah. There's got to be both sides of it. If you go back into 2 Peter, let me read you some excerpts of 2 Peter. This is a sermon that Dan shared with us not too long ago. 2 Peter chapter 2. Beginning in verse 1, it says, but false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who brought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned. In their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. Skip down to verse 9, if you would. The Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment, especially those who indulge in the flesh and its corrupt desires and despise authority. Daring, self-willed, they do not tremble when they revile angelic majesties, whereas angels, who are greater in might and power, do not bring a reviling judgment against them before the Lord. But these, like unreasoning animals, born as creatures of instinct to be captured and killed, reveling where they have no knowledge, reviling where they have no knowledge, will in the destruction of those creatures also be destroyed, suffering wrong as the wages of doing wrong. They count it as a pleasure to revel in the daytime. They are stains and blemishes, reveling in their deceptions, as they carouse with you. Having eyes full of adultery, that never cease from sin, enticing unstable souls, having a heart trained in greed, accursed children, forsaking the right way, they have gone astray, having followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he received a rebuke for his transgression, for a mute donkey, speaking with the voice of a man, restrained the madness of a prophet. If somebody is telling you what you want to hear, and he's got his hand in your pocket, and his arm around your wife, what's this beginning of? I mean, this is pretty much how cults start, right? So, cults have been in the news lately, right? There's a couple down in Texas right now. What's their big thing? What are they amassing? They have this big compound, millions of dollars worth of assets. What are they amassing? What are they bringing for themselves, the leaders of these cults?
Wives.
Old guys with young wives? Is that the way that usually works? All of you are claiming to be... No. Maybe once. So... So, yes, Dave?
I just want to mention that it's interesting, the book of Jude, because Jude starts out with saying like something else he was planning to speak about, but then he changes and says, I see this as more important.
Read it for us.
He says, "Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who changed the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord."
So any of you work in a factory? John Deere factory, maybe? So, I'll bet you did this. So, you're looking at parts, and there's something wrong with the part. What did you do with it?
Put a whole tag on it.
Put a whole tag on it? Did you ever get a spray can of paint? Or do they only do that down at the...
Oh, yeah. I didn't paint them. They just went in the scrap tank. But I knew this down there.
Okay, you put them in the scrap tank. What if you couldn't just put them in the scrap tank right away? What do people do?
You would put an identification on either a whole tag or the paint.
Yeah, take this big red paint and just make a big old red X right on it. Why did you put a big red X on that green piece of metal? That's because green ones are good and red ones are bad, right?
Yeah.
That's what I always told everybody. But you marked them with that so that you could tell, don't use these parts, right? And when somebody is marked with greed and self-ambition and sexual immorality, what is that? What does that tell us? It's a big old red flag. I mean, it's a scrap tag, right? I mean, and actually that's what he said. These guys are going to the scrap tank, right? That's exactly what he said. The scrap tank's already been prepared for them. That's exactly what he said.
A lot of people miss that big red flag.
But think of the good that the guy did. You know, I mean, yeah, sure, he did some bad things, but think of the good things that he did. Does that sound familiar to you?
A lot of good people go to hell.
Yeah, people that did good things. There's two passages, or two sets of passages, that besides the one in Jude. If you go over to James chapter 3. James chapter 3 is the one about holding your tongue, right? If you could just control your tongue. James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. And look in the middle of this for the words jealousy and selfish and ambition. Who'd like to read that for us? Dave.
13:18, right? Yep. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness.
Selfish ambition, envy. You know, these guys right here have been disagreeing about things for a long time, and nothing came of it until this guy made it really profitable to be the one in control. When Constantine made it important who was in control, then the dispute between Arius and Alexander really heated up. Who's going to be in control? There's this question of what should you do? If you go over to 1 John, how are you going to tell? So how are we going to tell if a miracle really is a miracle? 1 John, we're going to look in chapter 2, and we're going to look in chapter 4. And actually, let's take them out of order here. Let's go to chapter 4 first. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 8, we're going to look at. Who would like to read that? Blake, you want to read again? Okay. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 8.
1 through 8.
Yep.
Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits.
Wait a second, repeat that again. Would you? What are they supposed to do?
Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us, and he who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error.
So two more verses. There's a comma after error there, right? I don't know why they put a new heading right in the middle of a sentence that's got a comma with it, but by this... Oh, period. Okay. The spirit of truth and the spirit of error, and then what does the next two verses say?
Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love.
Okay, so there's a couple of hallmarks here of how you can tell somebody that's being a false prophet. First of all, what are his goals? Are they spiritual goals or are they worldly goals? The worldly goals. And second, what's his motivation?
Prophet.
What's the motivation of somebody who's a false prophet? What's the motivation of somebody who's not a false prophet? Let me ask it that way.
His own prophet. That's right. Okay. I said prophet.
If you go back to those last two verses, somebody whose motivation is the right motivation, what is it? Ward, what is it? You've told us this so many times.
Love.
It's love. Are you doing what you're doing out of love? Because because that's the way somebody that really is a prophet does it. It's not a gain or profit or what am I going to get out of this. Listen to this back in 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. I want to begin in verse 15. Do not love the world, nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away and also its lust, but the one who does the will of the Father lives forever. What did Christ come to teach us to do? To do the will of the Father. Children, it's the last hour. And as you've heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared. From this we know it's the last hour. They went out from us, but they're not really of us. For if they'd been of us, they would have remained to us thus. But they went out so that it would be shown that they are not of us. You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. I've not written to you because you know the truth, but because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. As for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you will also abide in the Son and in the Father. This is the promise which He made Himself to us, eternal life. These things I have written concerning those who are trying to deceive you. As for you, the anointing which you receive from Him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as His anointing teaches you about all things, it is true and not a lie. And just as it has taught you, you abide in Him. He's warning them that people are going to try to deceive them, that they're going to act out of something other than love. And then in Jude, also as was mentioned. So, here are people who are false prophets, and how can you tell false prophets? What are the signs of a false prophet? I left a really important one out, of course, but the ones we looked at. What's their motivation? Selfish ambition, selfishness, greed, lust, all of those things. What can I gain from this? What is missing in their motivation? Love. Okay. When these guys got into it and the guy that lost, you know what they would do? So when he won, you know what they did to him? They banished him. Okay. And then when he got back into control a little bit, and this guy had died, but there was the fellow that was helping him, you know what they did to him? They banished him back and forth. So they weren't operating out of love. So they weren't. Now, I think we got like 1 minute left, but there's one of these things that the reason this is important is because if somebody comes along and they say that they have apostolic authority, the authority like an apostle has, and they don't have the signs and wonders and evidence of an apostle, what's that tell you? They're false. Okay? If they come along and their motives are not love, if their motives are selfish, if their goals are worldly goals, like what are some worldly goals that people do in the church? What kind of goals do churches set for themselves? Actually, what kind of goal did David set for himself when he became a king? Churches do the same thing, right? What did he want to know? He wanted to know numbers. That means numbers, where I come from, okay? Numbers. Numbers, numbers, numbers. They're worried about numbers. Churches ever do that? The people ever do that? What does that tell you when you start worrying about this? If you're doing the right thing, people are going to show up. You don't have to worry about this, do you? What happens if you're worried about this? You're not going to be doing the right thing, right? It's the same kind of thing. What other kind of things do people focus on besides numbers?
Money.
Special kind of numbers. Right? So know, if something really needs to be done, you know, if we needed to do something that took a lot of money for us to do it, and we were all really convinced we needed to do it, do you think we could come up with the money?
Yes.
Of course we could. What happens if we focus on money, though? You focus on this, okay? Well, what about this? What about having... Ain't I a great artist? When there's three guys together like this, what does somebody always want to do? He wants to be in charge. Oh, yeah. So, and usually it's one of these guys. And then these guys want to be in charge of some more people down here like this. What do you call that? There's a better word that starts with an A. Authority. Have authority, a dominion over other people. Okay? Anybody ever watched the movie Memphis Belle? Anybody in here watch Memphis Belle? What was the whole purpose of why the one guy was a captain and the other guy wasn't? Do you remember why the co-pilot wasn't the captain? Why he wasn't the head pilot? It was because he was fixated with authority. He wanted it to be about him. I mean, that was a story about that. When you worry about numbers, when you worry about money, when you worry about who's in charge, you're going to have numbers, you're going to have money, you're going to have people who are in charge, but when you worry about those things, then you're falling right down this line with these false apostles. Okay. Thanks for your kind attention. We're going to pick up with some more of this. Let me make sure that I'm announcing this correctly for Wednesday. We're going to talk about promise of the Holy Spirit and the Helper together on Wednesday. We're going to put both of those together from the syllabus, okay? So we'll see you Wednesday. Come on in.